Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Wicked Wisdom. Go to Psalm 37. So the contrast today is going to be between wicked and wisdom, and not something that you could conjure up called wicked wisdom, which would be it's evil, but yet it appears to be the wise thing to do. And the longer I live and the more people I talk to, the more jacked up the world not becomes, but just more jacked up I realize the world is, has been. And you say, well, I don't get out much. I don't hear what you hear. I don't talk to the people you talk to. I'm not around that kind of wickedness. All you got to do is read your Bible. You don't have to talk to anybody. If you want to know what's going on in the world and what is going on in the world, read Scripture. There are situations where God shuts it down because it got so violent on the planet, he says, enough. So you say, well, things are bad. Things are bad in this country. They haven't surfaced maybe totally yet. But you listen around the world, talk to people around the world and the things that go on and just the things we could stand and share. There's enough in this room that this group of people right here, wickedness that we, and I say we have participated in to not have to go anywhere else. The things that we have seen, the things that we have done. We don't have to go, oh, all those people out there. So as we read through Psalm 37, you'll see a contrast here. And I think from time to time, and probably more times than I care to admit, I run into people who have lived an evil, kind of an evil, wicked life. And you know, well, I don't like to describe it that way, but if you start listening to what they say they've been involved with, what they think about, what they're doing, you go, look, there's no other way to characterize this, but this is just evil. This is wickedness. You say, well, but I don't want to think about myself that way anymore. Unless you go from wicked to righteous and living a godly life, if you're not chasing God and you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the default in the Christian life is not godliness. Now think about this with me. If you are walking with God, then you are going to please God. You're going to live a life of faith, of holiness. That's how it's going to be. But the second you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're walking in the flesh. And the second you're walking in the flesh, you are probably going to revert to where you came from. So this thing of evil, and the verse I quote maybe more than any other out of John 10:10 is, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the enemy is after you. You think, no, I'm a Christian. He's still after you. And the second you decide to live a godly life and pursue your relationship with God and live holy and separate and different, then they go, now we got a problem. If you'll just leave well enough alone and hold on to your ticket to heaven, then hell says, okay, we don't have to allocate resources or troops on that guy or that girl because she's not going to do anything. Sooner or later, they're going to slide back where they were. They're neutralized. But the second you put your armor on, draw a sword, hold up a shield, they go, now we got a problem. This guy's going to fight. This guy wants to do this. This woman wants to live this. So in this process of trying to live a godly life in a fallen world, you are surrounded by wickedness, by evil. And look at verse 1 of Psalm 37. He starts out here by saying, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So where does he start? He doesn't start with where we should be going. He starts with where we are and says, don't fret because of evildoers. Why? Because we fret. We are envious. When you choose to live a godly life, you choose to do the right thing, you choose to make right choices, and that's how you start out in your day, then immediately you are confronted with somebody who cheats, somebody who steals, somebody who's doing unethical stuff, somebody who's not playing by the same set of rules or trying to live the godly life you are, and you say, well, you know, I tithe. There's people say, well, you know, if I didn't tithe, I could buy stuff I want. And these other people don't do that. And so they have more money than I do. And so you get envious. You say, they're getting ahead. They're getting away with stuff. And it's not fair. I can't do this anymore, God. I've got to play by their rules or I'm going to get left behind. So we fret. We get envious, he says. But then he reminds you there in verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Sooner or later, everybody gets caught. You say, that's not true. It is true. It may not even be on this side, but you're going to get caught. A law of the universe is you reap what you sow. And so you watch someone, you see an evildoer, you see someone like this, the workers of iniquity, and you say, wow, God, I thank you. Because all of us came from a place like that. You say, oh, no, I was a good person. This is hard on the good people, okay? If you were a really good person and then you got saved, the scripture says that if you are guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all of them. So get off your horse. Oh, I would never have done something like that. You've already done it. You're guilty. Jesus can only save sinners. And if you've done one, you've done them all. We all need Jesus just as much as the other person. So if you're a good person, that may work out better for you in terms of consequences in your life or the default that you go back to when you go down, but it doesn't make you any better. Verse 3, so if you're not going to fret, you're not going to be envious, then what are you going to do? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Pretty bright stuff. Light, and then he specifies here noonday. It doesn't get any brighter than that. Everybody will see it. You can't ignore the brightness of the noonday. Trust in the Lord. Do good. You say, well, I can't wait to trust in God. I got to trust in me. I got to make a decision here. I can't wait on God. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. And then this verse, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he gives you whatever your heart's desire is. That's where some people say, well, the Bible says he's going to give you your heart's desire. No, it says, trust in the Lord, do good, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What happens to your heart when you delight yourself in the Lord? Your heart's desires change. You don't want what you used to want. And it's interesting how when you delight yourself in God, that you end up wanting what he wants, and he ends up giving you what you want because that's what he wants for you in the first place. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Keeps going. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So he keeps saying, don't fret. Don't get anxious. Don't take matters into your own hands. It's not going to work. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently and get your eyes off of other people and what they have. If you trust in the Lord, you got your eyes on him. If you keep looking around at what everybody else has got, even if you figure out, well, they got this, it's this ill-gotten gain. So me waiting on God is getting me nothing. I'm going to take matters in my own hands and I'm going to fix this. Nothing but harm. It only causes harm. Why? Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully to his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Now, let me just take a little deal out of here on verse 12 and 13. If you decide to live a godly life and you're going to do it God's way and you got a job and you go to work, I'm going to tell you straight up, there are people in the world who are gunning for you. It says it right here. The wicked plots against the just. There are people whose sole purpose is to take you out. They will lie about you. They will create problems for you. They will do everything they can to attack you. That's how they think. And for some people, for the wicked, For the unrighteous, for the ungodly, for the evildoer, life is just a big game. And some of it is just, let's just shoot at that person randomly. It's drive-by sin. It's just random acts of violence or just sinning against believers. So you say, well, why is this stuff happening to me? Because that's the world you live in. You've got to stop being shocked that you're getting shot at. And the second you choose to live a godly life, you're just escalating the warfare. You say, well, then I'm just going to just cower and go home and hide till Jesus comes. That's not why he left us here. So put your armor on, get out there and assume that you're going to get attacked, but pay attention to where you go and who's around you. And when you see things like this very verse, the wicked plotting against the just, you can't be shocked anymore at this. You go, wow, that's straight out of the Bible. They mean me harm. Because I've chosen to trust God and I'm following him, they're after me. Now, you don't have to be a martyr, you know, oh, poor me, and I didn't get a raise. You know, do your job, go to work, and let God be your defender. Because what happens to these people? The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Like, well, you know, you got God laughing now, like, wow, you're after one of my kids. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart and their bow shall be broken. Now it takes a lot of faith to wait for that. You say, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to take them on. It's not your job to take them on. There is consequence to their behavior. And scripturally, their stuff comes back on them. Verse 16. A little, here's your verse if you were waiting for it, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. She said, well, what does that mean? The arms of the wicked, they're strong, they get things done. But when your arms are broken, you can't do anything. But what happens to us if we trust him? But the Lord upholds, he lifts us up. He's the one, his arms don't get broken. He upholds the righteous. You say, well, I don't have much. Do you have righteousness? And if you have righteousness, you only have it because it was imputed to you by God himself, which means you have to have a relationship with Jesus. So you wake up every day and you go, wow, I'm a child of the King. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I have clothes to put on. I have food to eat. Even if I don't have shelter, I'm blessed. And then you move out from there. And you say, but what about those people? They have this and they don't share. And you know what? That's not my problem. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. So who's going to take better care of you than the arms of God himself? Nobody. Stop looking to other people, to the world, to some scheme, to some evil, to some wickedness to fix it. I got people who come in and out of here and their past is they did drugs, they dealt drugs. So one of their temptations is they get in a bind. I mean, we've had some strippers come and go through here. And the easy thing, you say, well, these strippers, she's making $1,200 a night. And I say, well, you know what? Here's what God's plan is for your life. You need to stop stripping and you need to get a job. And, you know, it's a minimum wage job maybe because your resume, you know, good on a pole doesn't really get you in a lot of places. Right? So we tell them, stop stripping, go do this. It's hard. When you moved from wickedness to righteousness, it can be hard. It can be stressful. So from time to time, I've had girls say, I'm not going to make it. I quit. I'm in this job. And they keep calling me from the strip club. They're saying, look, we understand you quit. We had somebody get sick and we need you Friday night. I know you got a truck payment to make. Just come dance Friday night. And then that's all we need. And get them back in the groove, making that fast, easy money. Another guy, dealing drugs, trying to do the right thing, got him a job. Things are stressful. And all he's got to do is pick up the phone and make one call. They deliver him some inventory. He sells a little bit and bada bing, bada boom, thousands of dollars. Catch up what's missing and then say, I'll stop that and move forward. That is playing with fire. You cannot go back to wickedness. There is consequence to wickedness. And you say, wow, those are crazy examples. Unless you say, oh, I wouldn't, oh, I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, you just cheat on your taxes. Don't report some income. Or you rob God because there's none left for him. So you're spending his money and wonder why you have no crop ever come in because you got no seed in the ground. Have I covered everybody? Raise your hand if you feel left out. Let's see, strippers, drug dealers, tax. That's getting about everybody. All right. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. He knows my days. Look at that. So I don't know what's coming the rest of the day. I don't know what's coming this week, but I know somebody who does. He said, well, what if it's tough? He knows, and he's already way ahead of me. It's funny where they put gas stations on freeways, isn't it? About the time you need some gas, there's a gas station. How's that? Because they're ahead of you. Probably bought gas back here, going to run out of gas up here. We're going to give him a chance before he runs out of gas to buy gas. So if they're doing it in the gas business, God's doing it too. You say, well, I don't know if he's out there ahead of me. What if he's not there when I get there? He's everywhere. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He's everywhere. You're not going to get anywhere where he's not there. He's already made provision before you get there. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away, just like that. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And if you've ever seen this with parents, my girls, I remember this. You're walking along, and you've got your kid by the hand, right? You're walking, little bitty kid, you got him by the hand, they're walking, and they will trip, right? And they lose their balance. They're going down. They start falling. And because they've got you by the hand, even if they fall, they're right back up. So you say, well, I went down. Now listen to me very carefully. You say, I have fallen. Get up. Now this isn't complicated, but this is profound. Get up. You say, well, I can't get back up. Ask God to help you back up. Well, I did, and I can't get up. Then ask some people to help you back up. Sometimes you go down so hard, I've passed out before and hit the ground, almost hit the ground hard, and one person could not get me up. I weigh a lot. Have to be a very strong man to get me up, dead weight. Well, if it takes more than one, then get as many as it takes. Get me up. Now read this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So if your steps are ordered by the Lord and he delights in your way, you're probably not going to fall. But he knows you can fall. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So you're not by yourself. I have been young and now am old, the writer says, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Okay, these are very simple things. Well, everybody here and beyond, think about this. What evil are you involved with? Straight up, it's evil and you know it. You got it? Now, for some of you, it's pornography. For some of you, it's an affair. For some of you, whatever it is. And for some of you, it's none of those things. You're just a gossip or a hypocrite. If you want to go chasing evil in the Bible, you're going to get covered pretty quick. So don't leave yourself out. You got bitter envy in your heart. You got hatred towards somebody. That's evil. It's not from God. If it's not from God, it's evil. It's wicked. So whatever your thing is, what's the simple instruction here? Depart from evil and do good. Get out of there. Get away from that. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forevermore, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And if you keep reading through this, and we're going to read all the way to the end, it goes better for the righteous than it does the wicked. Wicked does not work. Wisdom works. The world's way does not work. God's way works. You say, but I've chosen God's way and I don't have everything everybody else has. I'm not getting it as fast, as easy. You got to get over that. It's better to have little, he said, than everything everybody else has and have righteousness. And you say, well, I don't believe that. And that's your problem because it's true. You just don't believe it's true yet. And so you will scheme and connive and manipulate and lie and cheat and steal and do whatever you can to try to grab and keep it as though that's going to fix it. It's not fixed it yet. It'll never work. The easy way to figure it out, it's never easy. The way of the sinner is hard, the scripture says. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So back to this thing about somebody having it in for you. Look what it says. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. There is a real enemy, and this enemy is about steal, kill, and destroy. They want you dead. And then verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. I didn't know what peace was for a long time, and I finally got me some peace, and every once in a while, the enemy comes along and tries to do something to steal my peace. You cannot have my peace. I did not have it for too long, and I'm not trading his peace for whatever you're offering, because peace is priceless. Just to be able to sit somewhere and take a deep breath and not be anxious all the time and know that God loves me enough that if I'm out of line, his Holy Spirit will convict me and I can confess my sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and then we're back. There is no reason for there not to be peace. And it even describes it as a peace that passes all understanding. It's incomprehensible. You can't even explain it. Now, if you have that, you know what I'm talking about. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Now, you say, well, you're contrasting these two things. Dude, I'm not anywhere near the righteous side of this. I am the wicked. And you say, well, but it says about all that there's no hope for me. I'll be cut off. You don't have to die wicked, because we were all born wicked. You can be saved. So you say, well, I'm so deep in all this stuff. All these things you're reading about me. And I think this is coming on me. I have no peace. I have no nothing. I connive. I manipulate. I am thinking all the time just about wreaking havoc on someone else. That has been my whole life. Then stop. You say, how do I stop? You say, God, all of this is evil. This is wicked. I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead to deliver me, to save me, to rescue me from myself and from this life that I've lived. So I accept this gift of eternal life. I want to go from wicked to wise. I want to go from lost to saved, death to life. I'm in. Whatever you're offering, I'm in. And just like that, your life can change. You're not doomed if you're wicked unless you stay wicked.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Is that you? It says here they can deliver them from the wicked. He can also deliver the wicked from being wicked. Do you trust him? You either do or you don't, and your life will tell it sooner or later. Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's really going on is going to surface. And that's a good thing. Whatever you cover, he'll uncover. Whatever you uncover, he'll cover. But wicked never works. God's way always works. You may not end up being rich on this side. I don't intend to be rich. I am rich. I've already got enough treasure on the other side. If he takes me out right now, I'm good to go. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm taking a bunch of people with me. And that you can't change. What treasure have you got stored up somewhere beyond the blue?
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.